We'll read from 1 Samuel 25. David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, so David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall greet him. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where?" So David's young man turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And every man of them strapped on his sword. And David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house, and he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young man, "Go on before me, behold, I come after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rode on the donkey and came down on the cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, The life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause or for my Lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, truly, by morning, there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male. Then David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head. Then David sent and spoke to Abigail, to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife. And she arose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her 5 young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and both of them became his wives. Saul had given Michal his daughter, David's wife, to Palti the son of Laish, who was of Galim. So far we read the word of God. May he now bless us as we study it and apply it to our lives. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the foot of a mountain, 2 groups of people are approaching each other. From one side comes a band of rough men with their swords drawn. Their leader is a handsome man. He is angry and he is ready for battle. From the other side, a parade of donkeys loaded with baskets full of food. Servant boys urge the donkeys forward. And then riding on her own donkey, a beautiful woman comes forward. And the 2 parties meet and stop at a short distance from each other. The woman slides off her donkey and kneels on the ground, eyes on the warrior in front of her. Please, sir, do not be angry with me. Let me speak. And as she talks, the man relaxes, his burning anger fades from his eyes, and he is amazed at the wisdom of this woman that is speaking to him. His answer to her is a blessing. He and his men receive the baskets of food as a gift of peace, and then both parties turn around and they go back. The lady back to her home, the men back to their camp. There will be no fighting today. This encounter of David and Abigail is a wonderful story of the Old Testament. It is a story of reconciliation. It's a story that even ends in a wedding. It's also a story that should be dear to us, because it is another chapter in God's saving work among his people. It highlights the qualities of God's anointed king, of David. And it also reminds us then of the wonderful qualities of David's son, the highest king, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it encourages us to honor him, because God will greatly reward those who are loyal to his anointed. And so we'll look at this passage under the theme, the Lord protects and encourages his anointed. And we'll look at three aspects following the line of the story. First, a wicked rejection, then a godly relenting, and then a divine resolution. The first few verses of our chapter introduce the main characters. And it's good to consider how they are presented to us and what they represent. The main figure in the story, of course, is David. He was anointed to be Israel's next king in chapter 16 already, but he has been on the run ever since. King Saul is trying to kill him. Saul had failed to be the king that the Israelites needed, and therefore God had rejected Saul. And King Saul knew this, but it made him all the more angry. So David and his band of 600 men wander through the wilderness near the Dead Sea in the south of Israel, a lot of deserty areas there, and they try to stay out of Saul's clutches. Now, when you're studying this narrative of David and Saul, there is one central question to keep in mind. This is where the suspense of the story really is. Will David prove that he is worthy to be king, that he is more qualified than Saul? I saw in the bulletin that you will be starting a study on 1 Samuel next week. And that is something that you will see if you get to the story of Saul and David. Saul failed pretty much every test that in which he had to show to be the king who is faithful to the Lord. And so the question is now, will David be better? Will he be the right king for God's people? In chapters 24 through 26 of 1 Samuel, there are actually three tests that David has to pass to see if he is the kind of king that God has in mind for his people. So at this point, David passed the first test in 1 Samuel 24, where he had an opportunity to take care of the problem and kill Saul. But he said, no, I am not going to touch the Lord's king. The Lord will do that. David recognized that he should not avenge himself, that he should not work his own salvation, but leave it to the Lord. So that's chapter 24. David had passed that test. And now comes the second test in chapter 25. The other two main characters in this story are, of course, Nabal and Abigail. In most Bible stories, we get to know the people by their words and actions. It's remarkable in Bible stories how little time is spent on introductions, because you get to know the people as the story continues. But here, in verse 3, we actually get a description up front. Nabal, he's a rich landowner. He lives in Judah. He's from the same tribe as David. And his description is not at all flattering. Nabal is harsh. He's poorly behaved. He's a successful farmer, but not a pleasant man. Even his name says something about him. Nabal means fool. And that is brought out in the story in verse 25. The Pew Bible has a footnote there. Nabal means fool. And for once, the name actually tells a lot about this man. His wife Abigail is the very opposite of her husband. She is beautiful and she is wise. The contrast between Nabal and Abigail is strong. Now, especially the introduction of Abigail as a very beautiful and smart woman gets us as readers thinking, what is a woman like her doing with such a nasty husband? What are they doing together? And you may even think, wow, too bad she is married to this fool. Otherwise, she sounds like a perfect match for David. David, after all, had been introduced in chapter 16 also as someone who was clever and handsome. Wouldn't they have made a splendid pair? But no, she's married to fool Nabal. Now, how does David get involved with these two people, with Nabal and Abigail? Well, Nabal's sheep business employs a whole bunch of shepherds, and they travel around, as you did as an Israelite shepherd. They traveled around with their flocks through the rocky landscape in southern Israel. It was dry, there was not a lot of grass, so you had to be on the move to make sure the sheep would get enough food. And so these shepherds spent quite some time in the wilderness where David happens to be staying. It was a dangerous region. There were wild animals, there were robbers, and undoubtedly Nabal often had to write off sheep. Sheep killed by wild animals, sheep stolen by robbers. But now David and his men are there, and they actually keep the region safe. They're the unofficial police in that area, you could say. According to one servant of Nabal, in verse 15, these men of David were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields as long as we went with them. David was not yet king, but he already was doing the work of a king, you see. He provided safety, he provided security. And Nabal's shepherds had been blessed by the presence of God's anointed already. Now, for a sheep farmer like Nabal, the high point of the year was the shearing of the sheep. Their wool contributed much to the income and the profit of the business, of course. Shearing was hard work, but it was also a time of celebration, and it was a time of partying and a time of abundant food. And so when David hears that Nabal is shearing his sheep, he sends a delegation to ask if his men also could participate a little bit in the festivities. David's message is this: Nabal, do you have any food to spare for us? Doesn't have to be anything fancy, but my men have worked hard to keep your flocks safe. They deserve some hospitality. David's message to Nabal begins with a very friendly greeting, a threefold proclamation of peace in verse 6. Peace. Peace to you. Peace to your household. Peace to all of you. David here is very polite. He's reasonable. His request is nothing unusual, nothing presumptive. David certainly is not looking for a fight here. But Nabal says no. And his refusal is extremely rude, it is stingy, and it is unjust. Worse, Nabal is demeaning and insulting. Who is David? He says with a sneer. Not an honest question, because of course he knew who David was. Everybody knew. David who killed Goliath with a slingshot. David who killed 10,000s of Philistines. David whom King Saul kept hunting down in a crazy rage. What Nabal really means is this: to me, David is a nobody. I owe him nothing. And for good measure, he calls David a runaway slave. He says, nowadays there's so many people run away from their masters. What's that to me? This is a terrible insult to David, and it is nothing less than a rejection of the king that God had clearly chosen. Nabal must have known that David was supposed to become king. After all, even Saul had declared and admitted this publicly in chapter 24, verse 20, just before our story. You can see those words of Saul. Saul says, "Behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand." David had to become king. Nabal knew it, but he rejected him. Nabal openly and rudely rebels against the Lord's anointed. Why did he do that? I don't know if it was pure selfishness, whether it was fear of Saul, whether it was hatred of God, probably a combination of those. But David's response is natural. David is furious at this insult. And he wants to respond in kind. David wants to defend his own honor. He wants to punish Nabal. This insolent man must die. And so instead of the words peace, peace, and peace in verse 6, we now hear in verse 13 the word sword, sword, sword. Now let's stop a moment and think about what is going on here. Is David justified in wanting to avenge himself? Nabal is definitely guilty of a terrible insult. But is it right for David to take this initiative on his own? What does the Lord think about it? The Lord had told his people, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. Proverbs 20:22. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. But David does not wait for the Lord, and he wants to deliver himself. That is understandable, isn't that what we do? We take care of our own things. We take care of our own honor. We defend ourselves, right? It's understandable, but it's also a serious lack of trust. In fact, this is the same kind of impatience with the Lord for which Saul had been rejected. And so do you see how much is at stake here? In the previous chapter, David had passed the test with flying colors when he let Saul live. And he had said to Saul, may the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you. That was the right thing for David to do in chapter 24. But now in his fury over Nabal's insult, David has forgotten this wisdom and this correct attitude. And so in our chapter in verse 20, we find him and his army marching to battle against Nabal and his household. And in doing so, David is endangering his ability to fulfill his calling as the anointed of the Lord, who is totally dependent on his God. David is about to fail the test. But the Lord saves David from himself and secure his plan of salvation. And the Lord does that through this remarkable woman, Abigail. She is smart enough to understand the threats to her family. She also understands that David is the anointed of God. She concludes that her husband's refusal of David is wicked and foolish. In Abigail's view, the fool Nabal has committed his worst nebla, his worst foolishness yet. And so she makes her choice. Behind her husband's back, she packs the food that David asked for. Not just a few bites, but a wonderful banquet. If you're looking for a recipe for a banquet, here was one, right? Donkey after donkey full of baskets. This gift is not only fair payment for the protection that David has given to Nabal's shepherds. It's also a gesture. A gesture of reconciliation. So perhaps, thinks Abigail, perhaps this gift will turn David's thoughts away from revenge and diffuse his anger. Abigail's plea to David in verses 24 through 31 is one of the longest speeches in Samuel. It's certainly the longest speech made by a woman. Abigail apologizes and she makes very clear where her loyalties lie. Abigail denounces her husband as a worthless fool. If only she had been there when David's servants came with their request. She is convinced that David will become king and that he and his sons will reign for a long time. She says these beautiful words, the Lord will make you a sure house. Verse 28, the Lord will make you a sure house, David. It's amazing that she says that, because in 2 Samuel 7, the Lord comes to David and says, I will build a house for you, David. Abigail prophesies that here already. These words are not only supportive, they have a prophetic quality. So Abigail prophesies here, and in her prophecy, she also has the boldness to chide David. She's very polite, but she also criticizes David in a profound way. He ought not avenge himself on Nabal, even though the fool is guilty. Abigail says, David, the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and restrained you from saving by your own hand. It's not yet too late, David. You can still change your plan, and you should. Abigail teaches David the lesson that he clearly had to learn yet. He had to learn to leave revenge up to the Lord. If you fight the Lord's battles instead of your own, then the Lord will fight yours. That is what Abigail tells David. And David, he listens to this wise woman. In her words, he hears the voice of his God. And so David relents. He sheathes his sword. He receives Abigail's gifts. And he turns around with a blessing on his lips. Three times. Blessed. 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 Verse 32. He realizes too from what great foolishness he has been saved. And so David does pass the second test. He had spared Saul's life. Now he also spares the life of Nabal. And you see that David learned his lesson well, because in the following chapter, once again, Saul trying to kill him. And once again, David is going to spare Saul's life, even though he could just have cut his throat. And once David is king, he will pardon his enemies rather than execute him. It's another part of the Bible we often don't pay much attention to, but the first few chapters of 2 Samuel, you see how David does what no other king would ever do. Spare all his political enemies. Because the anointed of God stands out in his patience, in his meekness, and his reliance on the Lord. He does not speak up for his own glory. He does not fight for himself. He leaves that to the Lord. Now this, brothers and sisters, is not only true for David, but it's also and even more true for that great son of David, for our Lord Jesus Christ. In this narrative, David, you could say, prefigures and foreshadows Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus showed the longest patience and the deepest meekness. People mocked and despised and beat him. Yet he, what did he do? He did not even open his mouth, but remained silent. At any time, Jesus could have summoned 10,000 of angels to fight for him, but he was gentle to his enemies and left everything to his Father. He even prayed for those who were executing him. So in 1 Samuel 24 through 26, David was tested three times. Would he stand up for himself, or would he trust the Lord? It's interesting that after the Lord Jesus was anointed in his baptism by the Holy Spirit, he was brought into the desert and faced three tests. And they are well known. Satan tempting our Lord. And what was Satan trying? He tried his very best to have Jesus fend for himself. But our Savior, was unwavering in his devotion to God the Father. And our Lord Jesus did not even need an Abigail to remind him. With infinite wisdom and with patience and endurance, he passed the test. Because of his constant obedience, even to a shameful death, Jesus certainly qualified himself as the anointed of God, who was greater yet than David, and who rules over a kingdom without end. Well, David, in our story, accepts Abigail's apology and decides not to avenge himself. He leaves it into the hand of God, as he should. And the Lord indeed takes care of the situation quickly and thoroughly. It becomes very clear to everybody that Nabal was very wrong and that Abigail was right. The Lord confirms David by making an end to Nabal's mockery and by rewarding Abigail's loyalty. Nabal, he comes home from shearing his sheep. He's happy with himself. He celebrates the success of his business. Perhaps he's chuckling to himself about how he has dismissed David's men. Good riddance. He drinks himself into a drunken stupor, unaware that he could have been dead by now if David had followed up. Unaware that his wife has saved him in the nick of time. In the morning, when he is sober again, Abigail tells Nabal what she has done. And I don't know exactly what happened to Nabal. The story says his heart turned to stone. Whatever that means. Did he have a heart attack just because he heard that she had given away 5 of his 3,000 precious sheep? Whatever the case may be, Nabal falls ill and dies within weeks. And it's clear that this is a judgment of the Lord. David recognizes that and says, the Lord has returned the evil of Nabal unto his own head. For David, this must have been a great encouragement, a vindication. It gave him the trust and the patience to leave the revenge to the Lord and to trust that God would bring him to his kingship at his own time. Through his confrontation with Nabal and Abigail, David learned the beauty of meekness and gentleness that belongs to any truly godly leader. The Lord also encouraged David by providing for him a wonderful wife. David doesn't have much to offer her. She will be on the run with him for the foreseeable future, living in the desert and at war with Saul and the Philistines. But Abigail comes gladly because she is certain that the Lord will give David the victory and the kingdom. And so she looks forward to being the future queen, to be the wise wife and counselor to the anointed of the Lord. There are many lessons to learn from this story. I just want to take one approach to see how we can place ourselves in the sandals of these old Israelites. If we understand that David prefigures our great King, Jesus Christ, then in Abigail we may see a shadow of ourselves as the Church of Jesus. The way that the Church shows loyalty to God's anointed. The way she honors him with words and with gifts. The way she asks him for his favor. This is how we too may live with our King. Indeed, the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. As David took Abigail into his household and palace, so Jesus will take his faithful church into his most intimate fellowship. And so the story leaves us with an important question and with great encouragement. The question is this: what is your attitude toward the anointed of the Lord when he enters your life? Are you foolish like Nabal, or are you wise like Abigail? Will you reject the anointed of God or honor him as your Lord? Those are the only two options when he comes and says, give me your life. The death of Nabal is a clear warning to all. If you reject the Lord's anointed, he will reject you. But Abigail's reward is a great encouragement. Be like Abigail, ready to show King Jesus allegiance. Place your life in his hands. Brother, sister, there is still time to run to him when he approaches, to bow down to him in worship and to give him the gifts of your adoration. And if that's what you do, if you honor the king that the Lord has appointed, then you, like Abigail, will hear his friendly assurance, "Go home in peace. See, I have heard your voice and I have granted your petition." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for our anointed King, our Lord Jesus, who has your perfect approval and who has shown what it means to truly serve God, who's fulfilled all righteousness, and who is now guiding us and guarding us, protecting us and leading us from his throne in heaven. Lord, we pray that as our Lord Jesus Christ, through his gospel and Holy Spirit and power, goes through this world, that we may respond as Abigail did respond to David, to acknowledge him as our king, to honor him with our gifts and our worship, and to give ourselves to him as a bride gives herself to her husband. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that you take care of all these things, that we do not have to fend for ourselves, but that you are the just avenger of evil, and that you reward those who are faithful. We pray that this may be our experience today on this Lord's Day and in the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen.